Hey, Invincible Girls. For today's episode titled Sick, Lit, and Loud, I'm going to be sitting down with Gabrielle and Misha, who are the founders of Suppressed Deity, LLC. Suppressed Deity, LLC is an organization that produces media content for entertainment and educational purposes. The essence of their organization is where humor and drama meet. They are unapologetic, revolutionary, resilient, and they're working with millennials who are growing through scars of life. Suppressed Deity has been in the works for years, and they're looking to fund their first project, Sick and Lit, a project based on the struggles of millennials. So without further ado, here's Gabrielle and Misha to talk more about Suppressed Deity's mission, their upcoming projects, and what we can look forward to in their organization.
Like I said, I'm just so appreciative that I had the opportunity to even launch this podcast.
We are happy that you are wanting us to be a part of it. And yes. And we get to speak to you and just connect. That's what we're all about. And why do I have so much lint on my bag? Okay.
No, this light.
And it's ready up.
So I like this library because you can get like a little study area. But one thing I didn't realize is that nothing really goes up. So it's kind of open space.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, so I downloaded this great software that's going to allow me to do some noise cancellation.
Okay.
So we're just going to like record a bunch of stuff and I'm going to go home and mix it. Awesome. Like I know what I'm doing. But I'm going to go home and mix it and do the noise cancellation.
Misha's fiance is a recording artist. So like say if like you, I don't know if it's like giving issues.
Just, yeah, like, I would appreciate it.
We can just loop him in.
Awesome.
Where did you want me to sit? Cause that's like
I think we should sit close. The microphone is here,
okay.
And it's gonna pick up like everything in this room. But since it's like not a solid sealed room, I think the closer that we are, the better it'll be. Yeah.
Phone
now. So what I actually did last night was I worked on a few introductions. So basically today I'm just gonna leave it recording. You guys can just like. Everything. Like, I don't want it to be super formal, like, hey, this is mine, and I'm meeting. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I'm going to mix and cut everything and put it all together. I really wanted to launch it on the 30th because I wanted to have at least 3 episodes complete before I launch my podcast.
That's smart.
So this is actually going to be the 3rd episode on the podcast. Oh, I'm excited. And I told you, everybody needs some, like, motivation to actually, like, go and do their thing. So.
For real. And I feel like the most motivation that we've gotten is from, like, connecting to other artists.
Yeah.
And seeing what they're doing, collaborating, mm-hmm. It inspires you.
Yeah, it does inspire you. So, so when you graduated Widener, mm-hmm. You graduated from Widener, right?
Yeah.
So what was your major? Was it film and in education?
It was psychology.
Okay.
And then I moved to New York and I took up fellowship in art and culture.
Okay.
And I worked with several museums out there, and that's when I really started getting into art
and
into film.
Okay. And you dance and everything, right?
Yeah.
I see. I'm just like, she's all over. That's so awesome, though.
Yeah, I did some choreography for a few projects, and I'm still doing that, like, on the side. But, like, right now, my focus is film.
Now, you still living in New York, or you moved back to Philadelphia?
I moved back to Philly.
Okay.
Because because it was so expensive.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I've heard about New York prices. Like a small studio this size is like $1,200.
Yeah, like the size, right? Everything. Like your kitchen's
right. Right. I've heard about it. Like I had some friends live out there, and I'm like, you move to Philly, you can get a 3-story house for the amount that you're paying rent. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, I understand the mindset, though, because Philly can be
toxic. Like, I know there's so much opportunity in New York. No, seriously, no. Like, I love Philadelphia, but let's be real. Like, if you were born and raised here, then you know the mindset here can be, like, a certain way. And you can get dragged down if you're not, like, in a positive mindset. Yeah, if you're not focused, if you're, like, hanging with the wrong people, doing the same thing every day and not motivated. Yeah, comfortable doing the same thing every day for years. Like, not even looking outside. Like, I've had friends that were literally, like, you know, I don't need to leave Philly. Like, I love this place. I don't need to. I'm like, there's a whole world out there. And that's really what I want to do with this podcast. Like, yeah, like, why would you do that?
Are you kidding me?
How dare you live your life?
I'm sorry for expanding my point of view. Yeah. My perspective on things. I'm not going to stay here, but I, like, appreciate Philadelphia for what it is. And it
is
a great art and culture scene.
Yeah, of course. But if you were born and raised here, then it's just, like, desperate to get out of here to explore life in other places. I think that New York has so much opportunity for the arts, like artists, photographers, singers, writers, like whatever you want to do, journalism.
Yes,
like you can go to New York to network.
That's how most of my connects are there. Like, so we just did an interview in New York and met even more people and more people. It's just it's
networking.
A little easier than Philadelphia. I feel like the artists you have to really like meet up with them.
Right. Are you just sliding? Hi, Misha.
Yes.
I was just catching up with Gabby.
Yeah.
Talking about New York. You can sit here.
Oh, okay.
I was
so
telling Gabby, since it's not like super enclosed,
I
think the closer we are to the microphone, the better. The setup is a little weird.
Just let you know, she's
going to
be recording the whole time.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have an issue with not knowing the mic is still on.
The mic is
going to
be on
especially
the entire
me.
Time.
Especially me.
Not the silence. Okay.
Okay.
I honestly think when the mic is rolling the whole time, like, you just get, like, more of a personable
feel. Yeah, you get free and you forget.
Yeah.
So.
Instead of being so formal, like, hi, my name is Maya. You know, like, when I was working on a few recordings and introductions and stuff, and I was listening to myself, and I was just like, I sound so formal, like, I am ready to go broadcast news. And that's not a bad thing necessarily, but, you know, I will be able to cut it and mix it and do different things later. So,
right.
Yeah.
And I was telling her, because she downloaded a program, and I said if she needed, like, any assistance, because she was worried about the sound cancellation. So,
yeah, because it's not an enclosed room.
And I said, they may, you know how to...
Oh, yeah.
Assist her.
Okay.
Like, if you run into any problems,
because
I think you download the software.
Yeah,
well,
that's
but
it.
If
is,
you
like,
can't get something
popular.
Out, just let us know.
Hey, definitely let us know.
Yeah.
Sure. So, I like this library. This is,
this is really
first,
nice.
Well, they're open on Saturdays now, so I understand your concerns when you guys go.
Yeah, we was it. We're very, like, very
to
thorough.
This, yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
We want to be prepared for everything. So, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, so I called and I confirmed. So, this is actually the first Saturday in a couple years that they've been open. So, I tried to get here super early to reserve this little space for us. So, So, without further ado, tell me about Suppressed Deity. When I was looking up the words, I'm really big on words and definitions.
Sorry.
So, suppressed is to, you know, let me pull up. Because I love words and I love the meaning, and I think suppressed deity is an awesome definition.
Thank
so suppressed is to forcibly put an end to, prevent the development of, action or expression, to restrain. And then deity is god or goddess, and it's divine status. So when I mixed it up together myself, I just said to forcibly put an end to a god or goddess, to prevent a divine status. And I feel like that's just so super deep, and I love it. So are you guys, like, am I getting too deep, or is that exactly what you thought?
Yes.
Like,
exactly, you're right on the mark.
Yes.
For sure.
And we love to hear people, like, well, actually, this is the first time I've actually heard someone else say their interpretation of it. And I think that's a question that we definitely should ask, people.
Yeah,
you know, like,
what
do you think? Like, before we even say, like, what we think, you know, what it is for us, but,
You're preventing my God status. Absolutely. You are suppressing my deity. Like,
right?
So that is just wonderful. How did you come up with the name? You could go through like how you two met, how you came up with the name, how you're coming. Oh, wow. Like everything.
Well, the name has been in progress for our whole entire life, honestly. Yeah, we actually put a name to, you know, everything that we have, you know, transpired between us. So me and Gabby, we've known each other our whole entire life, mm-hmm. since we were little girls. I feel like we became conscious that we even know each other at like maybe 7 years old, you know? Yeah. Yeah, so, and we've been like in sync and just like twins.
Spiritual sisters.
Yes, for sure. And that's why we call each other God sisters, you know? We're definitely very spiritually yoked, as you can say. And so, suppressed deity. Actually, I'm like Gabby.
Take go it away again. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, both of us were raised in, you know, a religious kind of upbringing, Christianity to be exact, and we were always just around the church, and that's actually how we met too. It's through the church. Our aunt, which is Nina.
Yes.
Shout out Nina.
Hey.
so we were always around that, like, that environment, and. But we were going through, individually, we were going through this kind of like spiritual awakening and not knowing that the other was going through it at the same exact time.
Okay.
Because at that time I had moved to New York City and I was being exposed to a whole new world, you know, and I've been in private school my entire life. So that was just like, whoa, okay. And just different perspectives on God, godliness, and deities, and I mean African deities, just everything that you can imagine. And little did I know that Misha was going through the same thing in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we met up for the holidays. It was Christmas, at our godmother's house.
Which we always do every year. That's like our thing. We stay for like a whole week and just eat, junk, and just like we just create. And we just talk and just be each other's journal and diary.
Yeah.
That's just what we are for each other. And we, so when we were like, you know, when we sat down, it was like, okay, like I have to be honest, like, you know, I'm more spiritual, like just more spiritual now. And I was like, you too? Okay. And that's what like, really? Like we just like,
Because that environment was actually, our godmother is very, very religious. She works with the church and has been like over probably more longer than we've been alive.
Mm-hmm.
So to be spiritual, but then put in that environment, we're just like, so we were afraid to tell each other that.
Yeah. So we just like, we just went in and we just told my like who I, cause at that time I started going to class with one of my other sisters. And we were going to classes, like they call them like Sunday, quote unquote Sunday school classes, where you would go and at Black and Nobel, you would go and you would just find out, you know, about your culture, like the Black race and like where you really came from,
right.
And knowing who you are and just like food and, you know, what stems from everything, how, you know, from our culture, where we came from and just, and I learned so much. So I was like talking to Gabby about that and just saying like, yo, like I'm really finding out who I am, just not even as, you know, as a woman and as, you know, as a person, as a Black woman at that.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy, like, as an adult, you know, you're starting to learn more, you know, about yourself. And, you know, some people, they think they got it all together. And it's like, I can admit, I still do not have it all together.
Exactly.
You know, and, but I'm just really, like, going through just, you know, just learning who I am. And that's how we really came up with, you know, talking about deity and just what's in us and how we are our own suppressors. Like, we are, that's how we came up with it, too. Like, we just, we really suppressed ourselves and just, like, oh, no, maybe I shouldn't do this. Or, what is going to be thought about me if I do that?
Right.
And just,
or
just, like, even, like, just acting and dancing and stuff. Ever since we were little girls, we always done both.
Yeah.
Always. And we always was like, oh, we turn 18, we're going to go to L.A., and we're going to go do this audition.
Of course.
We're going to do this audition, we're going to do that. And then years and years came, you know, going to school. She went to school for psychology. Mm-hmm. I went to school for law. And just, you know, it just always kept coming back, just being creators. And then we kind of, like, stopped ourselves a little bit still with that. Like, no, we need to finish school, do this. And then, but it just kept coming back. And it really, truly is our passion.
Yeah.
And just with that, we were just suppressing that and just not doing that and not, you know, being confident in our own right, you know, we know who we are deep exactly. down inside, but it's like you kind of chose not to recognize that in a
of
sense.
Course, yeah.
And we finally are owning it. We recognize it now and being unapologetic about it.
I'm admiring you too, the way, like, I'm just sitting here listening to you and I'm, like, admiring you so much because I think that a lot of people lose their spirituality as they get mm-hmm. older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, they get lost and you guys held on to that, you know what I mean? And that drew you closer in a way. You're able to have these conversations that are really important where a lot of people are afraid to even have the conversation.
Yeah.
Like, forget the thought of it. Like, they suppress their thoughts. They avoid the conversation. Like, some people are just not even willing to, like, recognize their true talents. Like, you say
Absolutely.
That, you know, you went to school for psychology, you went to school for law, but you knew deep down that you had other goals.
Yes.
Some people are just so scared. So, you know, you have teachers out there that really just don't want to teach. You have people in all types of different occupations who just really don't want to be there. And that's why I think you two are so important, because you're the voice of that person who may not want to follow their dreams or is scared to or don't know, like, how to start it, but just really have to go for it and recognize that, you know, you have better talents and you need to follow them. And I think for me, it's just like the older that I'm getting, like, passion is such like a buzzword for me, because it's like, what are you passionate about? Like, I've been in several interviews where I just really needed the job to get some money, and they're like, oh, so what are you passionate about? Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, not here, not right. working
oh
for
my
you.
God.
Like, I just need
I thought
this
it was
job.
Just me.
I just need some money, you know what I mean? So it's just really hard, and it's really, it's inspirational, and I'm so glad that you guys are here on my podcast to inspire the next generation, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Like, you're young Black women, we're millennials, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's like another buzzword, and the generation under us, like, however they refer to themselves, Generation Z, whatever they are, like, they need to realize that, you know, it's not hard, it's not easy, but this whole era of, like, follow your dreams and indulge in what you're passionate about is really important. Like, it's not just something that's, like, trendy right now. Like, it's really important. And I'm just, like, I admire your relationship, and I admire
Thank
what
you.
You're doing. Yes, follow your dreams.
Follow
like,
your
that's
dreams.
Just, it's easier said than done, but, like, is it, though? Like, are we just, am I just, you know, being my, they say you're your own biggest critic.
Of course.
And
oh,
oh, it's so hard, I can't do it. Like, oh, to follow your dreams, I can't. I can't just, I'm not saying just quit your job and, like, not have an income.
Right.
Like, be smart about it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like,
plan.
Just plan and have some type of goal in mind to at least go for it. Like, so I just wanted to commend, like, just jump in and commend you guys for that, because it's just
like
amazing.
Like,
everybody
like,
inspires the next person, like, even with this podcast. Like, I'm finally launching it because the Gabby reached out. Like, I'm just like, oh my goodness, you know what I mean? So it's just like, you started.
I've been watching you for a while, so that sounds creepy.
No, but that's what we do. That's what we do. And even, like, without consciously realizing it, you really do watch people. And I think we consume so much social media that is really not healthy, but it's just like, we're in that generation where we can't put our phones down.
Right.
Like, I understand, like, the older generation is just like, if they just put their phones down, they get more done, but maybe we can get more done by having our phones now.
Yeah.
Because we network.
It's a tool.
We network.
Yeah.
We follow each other, and we watch, and we are inspired, and we're motivated, and it's just like, we're in this generation where we're back and forth. Like, we had those morals and, like, ideas from our parents and grandparents, but we're creating our own lanes.
Yes,
and
we're
then we're not,
in the middle.
We're in the
we're
middle.
We're
in the middle, and it's just
we're
like
in
fine creating our own lanes with those ideas from our parents and grandparents. But we're not as wild as the younger generation, or are we? I don't know. I don't know. I think we're just
like
in a mixture.
Every generation thinks the next generation is more wild,
yeah.
but it's just like basically how you express that, you know.
Yeah.
So who's the judge? But I totally agree with you. We're very happy to be here, and I'm so happy that I reached out. And
definitely,
when you were speaking about this kind of inner monologue that we have, I do think a part of that is due to social media, because I mean, a lot of times when we're not around people, we're just on our phone, we're in our head.
Yeah,
right?
Constantly
we're
talking to yourself.
Comparing ourselves
always,
to other
always.
People and the moves that they're making. And should I do this? I shouldn't do that. I don't have enough money for this. And that's where the suppression indeed comes, because you know those that inner monologue breeds the suppression, right?
Yeah.
So it's just breaking out of that. And I mean, I feel like I'm old school and I'm new school, because like the old school me is like, I do think sometimes we should put our phones down, but I feel like we should put our phones down to act on whatever we've started on social media. So don't let it just be stuck in your phone. You know, execute those thoughts, execute that art, execute, you know, whatever ideas you're getting and those connections that you're making online. Because a lot of people, they can make those connections, but then in person, they're awkward. They're socially awkward because they don't know how to actually speak and connect with people when they're in front of them.
And it's another form of fear, I feel like. You know what I mean? It's just like you created this idea of who you want to be in your head, but how do you act it out? And then you're so caught up in somebody else's life, and you're thinking, oh, I wish I had that, I wish I had this, but why not reach out to that person to see how they got that thing? Maybe you can form a connection that way. So
you get so much anxiety when you have to reach out.
Yeah, the whole thing.
But you know, like, memes are like this big thing now, and I read a bunch of memes, and it's like some of my favorite ones, like the trendy ones right now. It's just like, you know, like your blessing is on the other side of fear, and it's just like you can just like everything is just on the other side of fear. Whatever you're scared to do, if you do that thing, it's just like, what next? Like, now I was so scared to put out, I actually brought you guys a copy of my book of poems. I was so scared to put it out.
What?
I was so scared to put it out. And it's just like, okay, like, my mom is gonna read it. Like, it's no, so I actually published a book of poems called An Ode to the Good Girl, you know what I mean? And I've published it maybe like 4 months ago. And it's just like, I was so scared to do it, but once I did it, I was just like, okay, what's next? You know what I mean? Like, I was so scared to say, oh, people read it and they'll judge me. Oh, it's not that good. But if it's not that good, you know what I mean? Like, now that it's out, now what's the next step?
Right.
Podcasting. Right. You know what I mean? Like, all this stuff that I was really scared to do, I feel like I'm finally moving forward to do those things. And it's just like,
oh, that's amazing.
On the here's fear, and here we are stepping over it. And it's just like, there's the blessing, and here's, you know, we're networking and making connections. So it's really just a great time. And I just, like, I want to, like, give this out to everybody to inspire everyone.
Well, I'm inspired already.
I'm inspired by you. What?
Talking
about us.
But I need to market it. I need to figure out how to market it.
Yeah, you can plan. However, you follow through.
So, like, one of the chapters in my book is actually called Speak Up. It's called An Ode to the Good Girl. So the chapters are What's Good, Speak Up, Trial and Error, Selfish and Mean. So Speak Up is the name of my podcast. So I feel like everything is going to roll into the next thing. You know what I mean? So everything is kind of like being derived from my book.
Your book sounds like my life.
I can't wait for you to read it because it's just like, it's some stuff is truthful, some stuff is made up, but
we'll never know.
I'll connect with you guys later.
Surprise what people relate to, fiction or non.
So I know Kanye West has been getting a whole lot of like heat lately, and he's not becoming so popular, but I just want to bring him up really quick and ask you guys a question. Recently he tweeted something along the lines of like, I think that we should be able to turn off our likes and our followers, like we should be able to turn off our comments, meaning hide it. We should be able to consume in social media and enjoy it without people seeing the likes and seeing the followers and like those numbers. We shouldn't base so much of our enjoyment on numbers. And I kind of agree with that. I'm like, I don't like you right now, Kanye West, but you know what? You kind of have a point there. Because sometimes we were just talking about the whole social media, and we want to be able to network and enjoy things, but like those numbers kind of get the best of us. Like we'll look at these followers, like, oh, this person has a couple thousand followers. How did they get that? Oh, that picture, you know, they've been traveling. They have all, like, so you think people get wrapped up in those numbers? Do you think we should be able to turn them off like he suggested, or do you think that doesn't matter?
I think the thing is, people, they look at that in a sense of validation.
Yeah.
Define who they are. Like, oh, man, you know, in terms of, like, followers, like, oh, I'm not, you know, or people like, oh, my God, yes, I reached 2.2 million. Yes.
But what does that really mean?
Yeah, it's like, what does it, like, you're more likable? Does that mean you're more likable?
More eyes on you.
That you're, like, you know, yeah. But how does that, why does it affect your personality? Or why does that, you know, in sense of, it makes your head stay high. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you can walk through the street, like, oh, my gosh, I'm just this person now, you know. You
I'm got your posture up. They're going to see what I have when I'm in the supermarket looking crazy. So I guess, like,
two sides to that, honestly.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that of all people, Kanye West is saying this. Because my question is, where's the motivation coming from? Are you really concerned about the numbers, or are you concerned more about the backlash? Because he says a lot of things on social media. So is that more so the intention behind it? If people were okay with what he was saying and he was getting all these likes and comments, would that still be his stance?
Okay.
So my thing is this. I think if you are able to detach yourself from the numbers, they can be good, especially from a marketing standpoint. Not to get all business on you.
No, but you should.
But, yeah. I mean, if you're trying to market certain things and you post things and this thing has 100 likes, but the second post has 5,000 likes, mm-hmm. I think that can assist you in knowing your audience.
So now you will be able to see it, but it's for the world not to be able to see. I think he was saying, like, so if you post those two pictures, like, you'll be able to see that. But mm-hmm. if I'm looking on Gabby's page, I'll just be able to see those pictures. I won't be able to see your followers or your likes. So that way you can enjoy the social media without, like, having, I guess, that
preconceived.
Yeah,
like
that.
Oh, I should like this because it already has enough.
And some people do stuff like that. And now that you're able to see, like, kind of like who liked it before you, you know, there's like a preview on Instagram.
Yeah, now you can.
Like, oh, Gabby liked this picture. I like Gabby. They were gonna like it too. I don't know.
And I definitely, I'm at fault for that.
It depends on how you interpret it. And I know that, like, social media, unfortunately, has become this huge thing, but we can't escape it right now. So it's just, like, a question I threw out there for you guys to
see. And that is true. Like, subconsciously, I have done that. Like, look, like, seeing, like, Gabby, for instance, like, she likes something. I'm like, oh, I know I won't like it. You know, and I'll see that. And I'm like, you know, now I'm thinking about it. And I'm like, hey, did I really like that? You know?
Or you're scrolling past a video, and you might not want to click on that video, but then you see somebody liked it that you know. Like, okay. Mm-hmm. I like Cash Doll. I'm like, oh, she liked this video. Let me see what this video is. Now I'm watching it. Now I'm giving it a view to see why. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's just, I guess maybe he thought.
But you know what? Sorry, I'm always playing devil's advocate. Okay. Because I feel like beyond social media, that happens, period, in the world. Because a lot of times when, say, a book, mm-hmm. they'll be like, so-and-so Oprah. A book could be horrible. Mm-hmm. But if Oprah recommends this book, people are like, oh, I gotta get in this book. Because Oprah knows what she's talking about. Yeah. Or Oprah is so, she make mad money. So let me follow this. I just feel like it's the same thing, but technology-wise.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or even in movies, you know.
So do you think you can build self-confidence free from social media? Like, if social media didn't exist, well, if social media existed, but tomorrow it got taken away, like, how do you think people will operate?
Not if it never existed,
but if we had it, but tomorrow we woke up and there was no social media. Not that there was no internet, but just no Instagram, Twitter,
Facebook. Like, still Google and all that stuff, but just not social media.
I think you could definitely build self-confidence, but I think that detox, because we've already experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would feel so bad for the generation under us, because it's like the end of the world. Right? But I feel like that after that detox, I feel like it would actually be easier to build self-confidence, because it's not a constant comparison. I mean, you still go to school and you compare, because, you know, when social media wasn't that big and we were in middle school, it was still like, oh, I really like her sneakers, or, you know, that's normal, that's human behavior. But that detox would be brutal.
That's what I'm saying, like, millennials, that's why I say we're in the middle, because we remember our age before the internet, but where it was dial-up, and it was so slow connection.
Free
CDs that you would pop in just to have that free hour of internet, you know what I mean? Your mom couldn't use the phone, yelling at you to get out there. So it's just like, we have experienced before social media, you know, we have, like, the disposable cameras, but we couldn't save those memories unless you go and get them printed out. So we have upper hand to that, but like you said, the younger generation, they might be kind of lost. Remember when texting first boomed, and like the older generation was like, this is why these kids can't communicate, because they're always texting and this and that, they're always in their phones. But we remember not being able to text. Like, now kids, that's all they do. I kind of get bored with texting now. Like, if you don't call me and have a phone conversation, I'm kind of bored with it. And it's crazy, because
I'm the opposite.
When it first came out, you know what I mean? When I had Snake on my phone and everything
I remember Snake, yes, girl.
You know, all the games and stuff, like, I was really into it. But I feel like the last couple of years, I'm not into texting. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I feel like millennials, like I said, we've had, like, experience with all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And now we're, like, at the peak of it.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's next? Like, is it going to be, like, what is, I don't know. What is next? I remember the days thinking, like, I wish that I could call somebody and see them. You know what I mean? Have you ever thought that? Now you have FaceTime.
Oh, yeah. Like, you want to go to the movies? Okay, meet you at 6. You know,
you can FaceTime people and actually see them. So, that was kind of an odd turn, but I just wanted to see you.
Wow, that was really great.
I guess to think what's next really is scary.
Like, I would definitely take those questions away from here, too, and just, like, think and reflect.
Like, how would you handle social life, your life in general, your confidence? Like, how, if you woke up tomorrow and social media didn't exist, like, how would you handle things?
So we're going to break away from the social media talk for just a second. Yeah. And I want to talk about your new project coming up, Sick and Lit.
Yes.
So when I know I was so hyped to put the trailer out there, but I was just so excited. I was just like, that's just so exciting.
So, so happy
but when I was looking at the trailer, I sort of got from the title that maybe it's like a reclaiming of words. So are you looking to do that within your project, like Sick and Lit? Are you reclaiming those words, or like how did you come up with the title Sick and Lit?
Actually,
because I know it's about mental illness within millennials and things like that. So are you reclaiming?
Well, that's a part of it.
Yeah, it's a part. So the trailer just showed just like a good two topics, you know, in a sense of what we want to speak about during the series.
Okay.
So the series actually is it's about mainly two millennial friends, like two friends that grew up in the, you know, the age of millennials. And they deal with all different types of stuff. So Sick and Lit is pretty much like parallel between trauma and humor. So it's those things that happen in life that you're just like, oh my God, like you want to break down or cry, but you just got to laugh too because it's so horrible. Like, you know, like I just paid my bill. My bill was past due. And I just paid it and it's like, I got another bill tomorrow and another one, and the lights out. Like, it's just, it's so much craziness that's happening that you just like, you just start laughing at yourself like, this is just too much.
Yeah.
You know, and
Well, it's basically that, you know, of course, like the trauma, like Misha said, the trauma and the humor of being a millennial and you're supposed to be adulting, but the way that the economy's set up, it's like, okay, I can't live by the same standards that my parents did, you know, and just trying to navigate the corporate world, especially being of color and a woman, and you're in the corporate world trying to survive, trying to make these bills, trying to keep your mental health stable.
Yeah.
And just adding humor to that because there's no other way. I mean, if you really dive into it, you will lose your mind.
Of course, absolutely.
So, like, say for instance, we have one of our lead characters, Samantha. She's played by Ariel McDaniel?
McDonald,
sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, Ariel. and Samantha is one of the millennials who, you know, did everything right. She went to school, she finished school, she got a job, and then she was unhappy, right? Because she suppressed who she really was, and who she really was someone who struggled with mental illness, her sexuality, and spending all this money on a field of study that she didn't really want to be in. So taking all of that and then having to reshape who she is in the now. And I feel like there's many people out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest, I feel like that's a lot of people of color, especially black women.
Yeah.
Especially black women who are millennials because we have a lot of pressure to do better than the last generations.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to finish school and you better not get pregnant and you better be straight.
Right.
And you
right. Don't cry. Be strong.
Yes.
Right.
And just power through
yes.
it. And not show too much emotion.
Right.
Don't show your weakness. So
right.
mental health is one of those things that we've ignored because we have this inner push that we have to be strong. And
yeah.
we have
be
to just
weak.
Do
weakness
no.
is a no-no.
And what is weakness? That's not, that really, sometimes that really bothers me because it's like being, I feel like most people who have, and I'm not gonna clump everyone together, but from my own personal opinion and perspective, people who have mental illness or struggle with emotional issues are some of the most strongest people because it's like they have to deal with all the other stuff in life plus their own mind turning against them. So it's just like what is this weakness, you know?
Exactly.
Weakness for speaking up about it or weakness for not speaking up about it.
It's all about perception. I feel like so much is about perception. Who makes the rules? Who is like drawing these lines? So
like,
we have
what's
to
perfect? What's normal? What's
yeah,
what's weakness?
What's weird?
Yeah, what's weird? What is all of those? Like who is
what's
the decider?
What's sick?
What's
yes,
sick?
Exactly.
What's sick?
Mm-hmm. So moving on. What are the appropriate levels of volume for millennials? Because the title of today's episode is Sick, Lit, and Loud. So we went through sick, we went through lit.
Yes.
So what is the appropriate volume? Volume not meaning how loud I'm talking,
the
but the tone of a person, what you're dressing, how you dress, fashion, like everything. I feel like we're in this era where everybody's trying to find themselves and find what works for them. So what, in your eyes, is the appropriate levels for millennials? what have you seen? Is there appropriateness in millennials?
See, and that's another, like how we talked about weakness, normal, person. Mm-hmm. Like what's appropriate?
What is appropriate?
Like what is, like, right. You know, it all depends on your personal experience and definition, yes. You know? So.
Like we're reclaiming this time where, you know, maybe 40 years ago, if I wore a crop top, some skin tight jeans walking the streets, they would have been like, oh, I don't know.
Like in the 70s, you know,
yeah,
70s,
like,
that
know.
Was fine. Some bell bottoms, a crop top, you know, you were fine with your fro.
Yeah.
But now, you know, it's, sometimes you do get a little side eye. Something,
you said
know.
Fro, that reminds me of workplace. So wearing natural hair in the workplace, I just want to touch on that just a minute because the last few years.
Oh,
so,
yes,
so,
I deal
okay.
with that. Got my puff.
So, like,
I know. I had to do a little screen. I got a puff right now.
What is work appropriate? With your hair, black women, like, ooh. How can we wear our hair in the work? Can we just wear our hair however we want? Like, can I wear my afro without somebody
what?
Trying to touch it or
day
comment
to day,
on
yes.
it? Like, hello?
The common thing.
Okay.
So this is my thing. I feel like in every work situation I've been where the culture has been predominantly white, I have received at least one comment on my hair.
Every day?
Not every day. Every day for you?
Yes.
But I mean, like, and then it's like, it's almost to the point that you kind of dread changing up your hair because you know people are like, oh my God.
Because
you
don't feel like it.
And it's not necessarily negative comments. It's just that why do I have to explain who I am to you or
exactly.
how my hair is or why is it this length this day and this length the next day?
Right.
Or, you know, the texture and then like the whole eyes on you. It's just like, I'm not an animal in a zoo.
You're literally,
you know?
Reaching out to pet my hair. Like, I can go on and on about work and. Work and hair is just so crazy.
Lord.
What have you done with your hair? It's just so big. Oh, can I touch it? Oh, it's just like, it's just so much.
Yeah.
And I feel like the whole idea of being like work appropriate has nothing to do with my hair. My hair is naturally coming from my head.
Yes,
even if it's not naturally coming
right.
from my head,
it's still
my hair.
It's still mine. I bought it.
You know what
bundles.
I mean? So, and then I felt like at one point I was doing this whole rebellious thing where I was purposely wearing an afro. I was purposely washing my hair and just like putting some moisturizer in it. Just because, like, you're not going to tell me or make me feel any type of way. Like, if you're
right.
able to wash your hair and come to work, then I should be able to wash my hair and come to work.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this one time I was working in fitness, and one of my coworkers had long, beautiful locks.
Mm-hmm.
And he came over to me, and he was really irritated. And he's like, you know that girl, because she, you know, she was a client of ours.
Mm-hmm.
She would come in every day to work out and, you know, just be healthy, at least physically.
Okay.
And she was asking about his hair, and she told him that she knew it was fake because she had a black friend to tell her that locks like that, if they're that long, they aren't real.
Oh,
and basically
gosh.
Was
people
harassing
so
him,
bold.
Trying to get him to tell her, admit that they were fake. And he had to
ignorant.
Stop me from going over there. He had to stop me from going over there because I'm like, you don't come to work for people to tell you about your hair and your culture. And
right.
like, our hair, well, I believe our hair as black people is one of our most noticeable, you know.
That's our crown.
Yes.
Okay,
it's
so
spiritual
okay. to us.
Yes.
It's so spiritual
mm-hmm.
when you make comments on it, positive or negative, or you just make it a subject of, you know, research today.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that is a part of suppression.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It is.
Absolutely.
I think it's definitely a way to make somebody feel like an outcast because
yeah.
it's just like, let's be real, in a lot of corporate workplaces, it's not a whole lot of African-American black people.
Right.
Like, there's a mixture. I think there's more, I work at UPenn, so there's a lot, like a big diverse crowd, but it's not like a whole lot of African-American women in my
mm-hmm.
particular office. So when I come in with my afro and you're saying, oh, what have you done with your hair today? Like, you're putting me on blast, you put me on the spot, like, I don't care for it.
Right.
And like, you're talking about my crowd. Get out.
Yeah.
What have you done with your
in my
hair?
Experience?
What have you done with your hair?
Oh,
what do you think I've done?
Yeah.
I've just washed it and come
And like my experiences, me and one of my coworkers, we're both like the only two black females that are at our job, and she has locks, and I'm like just natural, and they mix us up all the time. We look nothing alike. Nothing alike.
Oh, to you, you look nothing alike.
Yeah,
to them we were twins.
To them, like they
you're
get it.
The same entity, actually.
And we're in two different departments. We're not even in the same like field in like our job.
Are you even in the same age bracket or like?
Somewhat. And
still not. An
but still, it's not. It's not an excuse. Like we look nothing alike. Like I'm like, how really? Like it's just she has locks and my hair is. And then like sometimes I'll have my hair straight once in a while. Oh, Misha, I love how your hair is. Like
oh,
the compliments that I get.
Yeah.
I straighten my hair like twice a year. Only twice a year.
Because you feel like
it. Yeah, just like, just something, right. You know, I want like a perfect trim or something. You know, just twice a year, probably I'll straighten it. But the compliments that I get at work,
I like it. You're better when it's straight like this. Right,
you like it so much. Your hair makes me feel more comfortable.
Around you.
Yeah. They're like, oh my God, it's so nice. Wow, so long. And oh my, I'm like, really? And then too, I'll deal with things sometimes. I'm like, I just want to wear my hair just up, just like, you know how I have it today. You can't see me, but I have it up just like a little puff.
It's she has neat. An awesome big puff. Y'all.
Yeah. Yes. It's just puff, you know, just sleeked up. It's just really nice. And then I'll go to work sometimes. I'm like, do I look bummy today?
Even if it's like not slicked up, you still not bummy.
Right.
You don't need to have your edges laid,
ladies. Okay.
Right.
You can that's the whole, that's a suppression thing right
listen,
there.
Listen, today is Friday, and you said they still not laid, because I'll put a bunch of edge control and gel, and they still curl up and still be puffy. And I'm just you know what? It's bursting through.
We're suppressing our edges.
You cannot suppress it. I will not be moved, okay?
I will not. I will curl back up. Zone. No ego. I'm like, come on, eco style. Like, come on. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
But so, that's true. We shouldn't have to slick our edges. Swoop them edges.
Sick and lit. Okay. So we're just going to...
Sure,
I know, so we're just
going to... follow you.
No, it's okay because I like this. This is why it's so natural to have a conversation. It's so general because... this is how we feel. And people should know this. She said it in the most nicest tone. I'm so glad it was her.
It was us.
She didn't suppress it. She was said it with a smile on her. Also, I paused it, but we got shushed. I paused the recording. Maybe I could clip this out a little later, or I could just let it flow naturally. Anyway, let's let it flow. So we talked about a bunch of things. Like, I wanted to go through maybe like some stereotypes that we can dismember. But since we had the whole conversation on here, I feel like they basically covered the whole dismembering stereotypes. I am not my hair. Shout out to India Ivory.
Yes, I'm
okay.
Not my hair.
Moving right along. So, what do you guys hope to accomplish with Suppressed Deity, like, maybe within the next 5 years? This is, like, typical interview question. Like, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? But with Suppressed Deity, I could definitely see this organization, like, catapulting very soon, especially because I know so many people are interested in producer media. Like, we're in the age of media. So where do you see yourselves in 5 years from now? Sorry for the formal question.
It's a really great question. 5 years. I have not even thought, like, you know, in terms of like an actual year or time. I just know where, you know, where we want to be, you know, just long term, just period long term.
Well, what are some of your long term goals?
Well,
ultimately.
I can answer the short term.
Okay, so short term
okay,
first and then long term.
Yes. There we go.
So, short term, within the next, you know, 5 years, we definitely have several projects like Sick and Lit. We're also working on a docuseries called Agave, which is articulation, gestation, actualization, vision, evolution, that's based on like underrepresented artists, so artists who belong to groups that are, you know, claim to be social outcasts. We need funding, and we want to pay the artists that we work with. We don't just want to, you know, have their stories, you know, for show, like a lot of media does to people of color and artists of color. They take our stories and then we get nothing from it, you know. So we want to have funding for these different projects. We definitely want to do community-based events, because it's not just about Misha and Gabrielle, but it's Misha, Gabrielle, Maya, you know, just really reach out to the community and make people understand that they are the reason that we're doing this.
Okay.
So over the next 5 years, definitely make an imprint on Philadelphia, and to really uplift the art and culture scene here.
Okay.
And expand it, like, you know, Maya, we were talking earlier, I hope it's okay to say, about how limited the perspective can be in Philadelphia.
Of course.
So one of our goals is to expand that.
Yeah.
So that's why we travel, we do, you know, different events in different cities, because we want to learn something there and then bring it back to Philly and expand.
Yeah.
Yes.
So hopefully within the next 5 years, Philadelphia is truly transformed, and we have something to do with it.
Yes, absolutely.
Have you considered doing some type of shows? Like,
oh,
I know that
absolutely.
You're okay. Like, some
different
type of
workshops and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, different, like, instruct, like Gabby, we both have, like, different dancer backgrounds, dancing, like, African dance, like, workshops. We want to host. We want to host different, like, because I know Gabby, she does curating, too, and we want to curate different themes of events.
Okay.
Not just necessarily, like, an art show, but just events. and put that together, go in our community, help out, outreach, things of that nature, and just collaborations. That is very huge for us, just collaborate with people, and like their vision, their things that they're doing, and just Suppressed Deity is just helping betterment with them, and just as a team, we're just helping push the vision.
And, you know, as Misha said, she, you know, has experience and knowledge in the law. So I feel like that's also important. A lot of artists kind of get lost on their rights. And she's worked with the ACLU. And so taking her knowledge and really beyond just, you know, paying artists, but bringing them the knowledge that, you know, they don't need to depend on us forever. That when they go out into the world, they know what to ask for. Because I feel like a lot of times artists of color, we kind of take what we are given.
So excited for the opportunity, and you're just like, yes, you're doing for next to free, because
so
you're excited.
Misha, you know, she worked a lot on the contracts that we do, and she makes sure that the artist is getting just as much as we're getting from the from the content. So
that's really important. Like, that's why I'm so excited for your background. So the overall goal is like, yes, go get that background that you think that you need, but still pursue your passion, because you can find a way to intertwine. So you're a woman of multiple, you wear multiple hats, you know what I mean? Like, you're both women, you wear multiple hats, and you're both knowledgeable in so many different things, and then you can intertwine it and just make like a final awesome project and product. So long term. Was that long term and short term?
Well,
you said 5 years.
It was like a little mixture of both.
Okay. So just wrapping it up, I guess you could just give the listeners more information of like how to reach you guys, how to find you, what contact information.
Sure.
Media.
On Instagram right now is our largest platform.
Okay.
And you can find us at suppressed_deity. And so we'll have all of our updates there. We do stories. We do, you know, different photo shoots and different. What's our spotlight, right?
SD spotlight. Hashtag SD spotlight. You know, we put different, you know, different, not necessarily different artists, just anyone, some people that we know, we recognize that they're doing a thing and they're going against, you know, social standards or norms. And like, there's someone that we had recently posted on there, this girl, oh my god, her name is Kari, I believe. She was getting, her teacher, or no, she was getting bullied because of her dark skin. And girlfriend, she just said, forget all that. She had just spoke out about it. Like, I recognize who I am. My skin, it does define me, and that is fine. You know, I'm a beautiful black chocolate girl.
Yes.
And she went and turned it into a clothing line.
Hey.
She started making t-shirts. And we had put that was an SD spotlight that we had did. We had recognized her, and she was also in New York Fashion Week also recently too. That was huge for her.
I love hearing stories like that where it's
just
like,
she's like 12.
Yeah.
She was like 12 years old.
Oh yes.
Success.
Of course.
She did not let that suppress her. She recognized her deity and kept it moving.
Yes. So suppressed_deity is our Instagram, and we also have a Twitter, which is the same, I think it's just Suppressed Deity.
Okay.
If you have any issues, feel free to DM us on Instagram, and we can send you other social media platforms. And soon we will have our crowdfunding
link posted.
Yeah,
okay, that's important.
Crowdfunding link up and posted.
In our bio.
So you guys can just, you know, go check out our trailers for our project. And, you know, donate, hopefully, be a part of the cause. We'll have different products for sale. And also, we'll be posting the events that we'll be doing throughout Philadelphia and also New York.
Yeah, so please follow us, and that's how you will learn everything from day to day, what's going on. Also, our email address is on there as well, info@suppresseddeity.com. Feel free, if you want to collaborate with us on anything that you're doing, if you want us to help you with something that you're doing in terms of film, series, or just want advice on something, feel free to, you know, to email us, or you can DM us as well. But if you have like a big project, you can send us a proposal as well to our email. But our Instagram is definitely the best way to stay in tune with us on a day-to-day.
Yeah. Well, we're definitely going to be collaborating again in the future, because I am so inspired and motivated. So you'll definitely be hearing Suppressed Deity, Gabby, and Misha. You'll be definitely be hearing them again on Speak Up. And that basically concludes our episode of Sick, Lit, and Loud. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Maya.
Woo woo.
If you're interested and want to learn more about Suppressed Deity, don't hesitate to reach out to them. You can find more information on Young Loud Proud's website, Young Loud Proud's Instagram page, or Suppressed Deity's Instagram page directly.